Our first scripture lesson today is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 112. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in the Lord's commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. They rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with those who deal generously and lend who conduct their affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. They will be remembered forever. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have distributed freely, they have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor. The wicked see it and are angry. They gnash their teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked comes to nothing. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Victor.
Thank you, Gabe. Thank you, Cheryl. This morning's passage comes to us from Luke's Gospel. I'll be preaching from the 14th chapter, verse 1, and then I'll be skipping to verses 7 through 14. Listen now for God's word to and for us. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, Jesus told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit in the place of honor. In case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come to say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said that also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers and sisters or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, we come to you today grateful to be in your house, to be fed by your word. And Lord, we have come here not to hear a human word, but we have come here, each of us, seeking the guidance of your spirit. We thank you that your word is a living word and has a new thing to say every time that it is read and proclaimed. We pray that our hearts would be open and would be able to receive and hear the gift that you have for each of us individually and as a church today. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. You know, the quest for place and position starts early in life. Perhaps at the kids' table. Do you know what I mean when I talk about the kids' table? Sure you do. It's a place where the kids sit when we have large gatherings for times like Thanksgiving or Christmas. Now, my mom and dad were blessed with 8 grandchildren, and now they range from age 8 to age 31. And so they had this wonderful oak table, you know, the kind that has a split pedestal, and it'll open up farther and farther and farther, and they had several leaves to that table. So when the first grandchild was born in 1990, the table did just fine. But then as more and more babies were born, they had to add additional leaves until finally it got to the point where even though they had more leaves, they didn't have enough living room space to extend the dining room. And so then the kids' table, the card table came out, and the kids were relegated to the card table that was at the end of the dining room table. I can remember when I was a kid sitting at the kids' table. You know, I had second cousins that, first cousins once removed that I didn't know very well, so I didn't like sitting at the kids' table, and I would rather be with my family, my nuclear family. And you know, as I got a little bit older, the kids' table was kind of fun because you could get away with more at the kids' table, I learned. But then as I got even older, I felt like I was too big for the kids' table, and I really wanted to go to the adult table. And I think that that's probably a universal experience, because our oldest daughter, the first time when the two oldest, well, they weren't the two oldest grandchildren, but my brother has two sons. And when his two sons were asked and invited to come to the adult table, my oldest daughter got her nose way out of joint. And all the way home, all we could hear was the fact that she was older than the second brother who was invited to the kids' table. You know, as children, we're eager to take our places of honor, and our search for a blessed life continues way past the kids' table. You know, we go through many rites of passage during life, like graduations and marriages and home ownership and parenthood and vocation and titles. And we keep on searching for that place of honor often. It's true for us today, and it was true for those folks of whom this passage was written about in the very first century. For they were at a dinner party at a Pharisee who was very important. And in that time and place, the way a man received honor, not a woman, because women weren't invited to these dinners, but the way that a man received honor was by being invited to sit at the place of honor. So a man's role and his status was reflected in seating arrangements. So for those at the dinner party in the Pharisee's home that has been described to us in today's passage, a blessed life for men consisted of securing social position and place by obtaining seats of honor at social gatherings. The usual way to dine in that time and that place was very different than how we have dinner around the table, but there were couches, and usually there were 3 couches around a square table, and people would recline on their left elbow and then take and pick up the food with their right hand, and their feet would be facing outward into the room, and so the place of greatest, the couch of greatest honor was the middle couch. And then these couches held about 3 people, and so the place of and the highest honor place was on the left-hand side of the couch, the farthest left. So this helps us understand a little bit about what Jesus was saying about places of honor. He gives us some, at first pass, what seems like very practical advice, doesn't he? Straightforward advice, so that if we find ourselves in a social gathering, that we will know how to act so that we will not be embarrassed socially. He tells us that instead of choosing the best seats for ourselves, we're supposed to choose the lowest seats. And then we will be honored if our host then comes and asks us to move up to a higher seat. But he warns that if you choose the very best seat for yourself, the opposite may happen and we would be disgraced, or they would be disgraced. The problem seems to come in when we forget that Jesus calls us to live lives of humility, to follow him in humble service, and our pride, that horrible word, gets the best of us. It's a destructive personality trait. When we start feeling that we are more deserving of a seat of honor than anybody else, we have stepped into dangerous waters. C.S. Lewis once said, "Pride is the great sin. It is the devil's most destructive tool." As Paul writes in Philippians, the second chapter, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and being born in human likeness, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." Now, as human beings, most of the time, we aren't even aware, are we, that we are being prideful and that pride has taken a foothold in our lives. I love what someone once said about pride, is that pride is the only disease that makes everyone sick except the person who has it. There's a story about the donkey that Jesus rode on Palm Sunday. The little donkey was so elated that Jesus had chosen him over all the donkeys, and he carried the Savior on his back. And he was so excited with all the accolades and the shouts of praises and the hosannas, and he loved the feel of the palm branches under his feet. And it was probably the best day of his whole life. And so, after that day was over, the whole next week, he kept going over it in his mind and remembering it. And when the following Sunday came, the little donkey went to the path where he had carried Jesus a week ago, and he was expecting the same treatment. So he walked along, and this time nobody was waving palm branches. And the donkey said, "Did I tell you that this was a talking donkey?" Well, the donkey said, "Where are the palm branches? Don't you know who I am?" Instead of cheering, the passersby started throwing rocks at him. In fact, no one paid any attention to him at all. And so the little dejected and humiliated donkey went home to his mother, who said, "Child, don't you know that without Jesus, you are nothing?" That's true for all of us. Without Jesus, we are nothing. But in Christ, we can do all things. And that, my friends, is humility. Our pride should not be in ourselves and our accomplishments and what we can do, but what God can do through us, and how we can use our places of privilege to help those who need a leg up, who are less fortunate. As Keith Brooks puts it, humility does not consist simply in thinking cheaply of oneself, as much as not thinking about oneself at all and about Christ more and more. On one level, Jesus' instructions to take the lowest seat and then wait for the host to move you up to a higher seat seem like good advice to protect the listeners then and us now from social embarrassment. But many of Jesus' teachings operate on more than one level, and that's true for this parable. Jesus had a much more important message to get across. Did you catch what Jesus said when he starts to give this advice? He said, When you are invited to a wedding banquet. Wait a minute, rewind. Wedding banquet? This was not a wedding. This was a dinner party at the house of a very important Pharisee. But if we look at the entire of Luke's gospel, we will find that this is the third time in a series of six episodes that address the question, who will enter the kingdom? The words wedding banquet are Jesus' code for the words kingdom of God. And in this story, Jesus is giving us the keys to unlock and enter God's kingdom right here and right now. This is not a story or a text primarily about party etiquette, but a message teaching us how to participate in the kingdom of God that is all around us and always available to us, most clearly experienced and understood through leading a life of humble service, inspired by the life of Jesus Christ, a life that reaches outward rather than pulling inward on itself. Jesus teaches us to invite and include everyone, but especially those who are most often forgotten, those who are left out. We are a Matthew 25 church. We know all about this. Those who cannot repay us. And the Creator's kingdom, I'm happy to say, is breaking in to our world all the time, sometimes through the most unexpected ways. At lunchtime at Boca High School in Boca Raton, Florida, about 3,400 students are released to the courtyard, and that's where they have their lunch. Dennis Estimont was one of those kids. He had immigrated to the U.S. from Haiti 17 years ago. And at that time, he was 5 years old, and he couldn't speak any English. And as you can imagine, as anybody would, he felt like a complete outsider. He didn't have any friends, he didn't know anybody, and he couldn't really communicate with them. He felt very lonely and left out. But by the time he became a senior in high school 5 years ago at Boca High School in Boca Raton, he was one of the cool kids. Dennis made the decision to use his privileged position to make a difference by starting a club called We Dine Together with the mission statement, No One Eats Alone. So using his influence, he gathered all of his friends and they decided to go out and make it their mission at lunchtime to go out into the courtyard and look for those kids who were sitting by themselves and go up to them and befriend them and talk to them and eat with them, making them feel part of. Today, Dennis travels the U.S. speaking about the program. That was 5 years ago that he was a senior in high school. And that program has expanded and exists now in over 2,000 counties in the United States. So it's his full-time job. When we stop looking at our relationships in terms of what they can do for us personally and start caring for the needs of others like Dennis by including and inviting those who are left out, God's grace blooms and becomes tangible in both the life of the giver and the life of the receiver. Jesus is throwing a banquet, and we're all invited because God's table has an infinite amount of leaves, and God has an infinite amount of space to expand it. There is always room for one more. Our job is to invite them. For all are welcome, and all are God's beloved children, and we all stand at level ground at the foot of the cross. What does it mean to lead a blessed life? The ultimate seat of honor is available to each and every one of us right here and right now, and we claim it through humble service. Amen. Now, go out into the world in peace. have courage. Return no one evil for evil. Help the faint-hearted. Support the weak and help the suffering, rejoicing in not our own power, but the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Alleluia, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.